let me read to you from God's word, Romans chapter 12. We're going to read the whole chapter. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Let's bow our heads, let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your word. We're so grateful for it. We're so grateful for what it reveals about you and what it calls us to. So Father, this morning in these short minutes, would you challenge us, change us, show us how much you love us, call us to yourself, and may it all be for your glory. Amen. Well, for those of you who are not regularly here, not regularly part of Seagate, if you're just visiting, over the last few months, we have been studying as a church the book of Acts. Luke's amazing story as he retells what's been happening in God's church, telling us really that God's mission continues It didn't end when Jesus died. God's mission continues in God's world by God's Holy Spirit through God's people, the church. And that's what we've been looking at. We've been spending time together looking at that as a church. And really what we've done is we just kind of pressed pause. Last week and this week, we kind of just pressed the pause button. We've been looking at the church, seeing this amazing, incredible church. And we just pressed pause to see what is church? What is church back then? What is it now in this 21st century? What does it mean to be a church member? What does it mean to be part of a church in the 21st century? The church that we have seen in Acts, you know, it has this incredible unity and devotion, right? Just incredible unity, devotion to one another. It's an incredible place, an incredible picture. Right? That they are the members there, the people who are called to Christ, they are devoted to one another. Total devotion to each other. And they share together, they share in meeting with one another and having meals. And they share in prayer. We've seen that again and again and again in prayer. And the churches, the apostles, the leaders of the church are doing these amazing things, miraculous signs and wonders. They were worshiping together. There was great joy and it was generous and it was fantastic. And you look about as excited about that. This morning, I've got to tell you, you're not looking full of the joys of spring. And the incredible thing is that when the church was like that, when they were together and they were like that, people then started adding, or God started adding people to the church. People coming from darkness into light. And we see a church that just has this amazing impact on its community. Incredible power. The reality is that church today is not always great. Looking at your faces this morning, I don't think I have to convince you of that. And we've got to admit that the church does not look incredible in Scotland. It doesn't. It sucks. From where it was. And this is an odd thing that we do. I said this last week. It is an odd thing that we do. We come together, right? And what we do is we stand up and then we sit down and we sing while we're standing. And when we sit down and then you listen to somebody reading and you get a nice welcome and you will get a tea and coffee and a chocolate biscuit at the end. You will get that. But then you sit and you listen to someone like me. I can't think of anywhere else in our culture, right, where that happens. It is an odd thing that we do. So what is it that we're doing when we come here? What does it mean to be a member of a church? To be a Christian and be a member of the church? Easy to think of it. Some of you might still think of it as a social club. Got to tell you, it's not a very good social club. So it's not. Some of you might be thinking of it as a social club. What we get out of it. You have much better things to do on a Sunday morning, you know, like coffee and Costa. Question is, what do we lose when we think like that? What do we lose corporately and individually when we think like that? Last week, I tried to paint for you last week this vision of what the church is. Of how the Bible, of how God describes the church. That there are loads of metaphors in the Bible, loads of them about what the church is. We looked at two last week. That we are a people. A chosen people, a race, collection of people, a royal people. We're royalty. People, you see, don't enter a church. The church enters a building. The church is the people, and we are a people, a chosen race. And if that's not enough to get you kind of excited, we are the bride of Christ, Revelation 21. We are so special when we're knit together. We are so special as a people, so special. We look at church and we think, well, it's, you know, it doesn't quite fit my needs, and it doesn't work for me here, and that's not good there. And Jesus looks at his church and he sees his bride. The church locally and globally. We are the bride of Christ. We're not just invited to the feast. We don't just kind of scrape in. We are the bride. Collectively, we are the bride. In fact, and Jesus thinks so much of us, so important what happens here on a Sunday morning, that Jesus marries the church. It's the bride of Christ. It's so much more than what we think it is, church. So much more than what it looks like. But the third metaphor, and I want to spend time this morning looking at this, the third metaphor in this little two-sermon series. Church, says Paul in Romans 12. He says, well, we're like a body. We are, in fact, Christ's body. It's an incredible thing. And what I want to do this morning is there's going to be some challenge. I'm going to warn you. There's going to be some challenge. There's going to be some discomfort this morning. Right? But actually what I want to do is I want to inspire you. Challenge you, yes, but I want to inspire you by what it means to be a member. What it means to be something bigger than ourselves. I want us to understand what we lose when we don't meet together. And I want us to see the incredible blessing we get by being part of the local church. It's incredible, actually. It's amazing. I've got three headings for you this morning. Number one, a people who belong to each other. A people who belong to each other. And my voice is gone, so that's good. A people who belong to one another. A people who serve one another. And a people who love one another. And we're going to start with a people who belong to each other. Romans 12, verse 4, we read it a minute ago. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. Pardon me. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. We belong to each other. Now, those of us who are Christians, who put our hands in the air and say, we are Christians. We are part of the people of God. We came to Christ. We understood the sin in our lives. We repented of that sin and we asked for forgiveness. And Christ in his mercy and his grace gave us it, and we are Christians. When we become Christians, we belong to one another. We belong to each other. I wonder if you understand the depth of that. That we're connected. Deep and important ways. So much so, right, that when you hurt, when you are in pain, I feel that pain. Right? When you are happy and joyous and it's magic and amazing, we feel that joy. Now, we understand that in a family context. We do, right? There's lots of young babies here, right? I remember when my children were young, when they were in pain, and you couldn't fix it, and you couldn't make it right, and you took on pain. There was a part of you that was in pain yourself because you couldn't make it right. And there'll be people here today when their children have done amazing things and it's incredible and successful and they've graduated, and you stand on the sidelines and you think, yeah, that's my boy. That's my girl. That's what it's like in the church. We're connected. Verse 15 that we read says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. That's countercultural, by the way. It's countercultural. Normally, when we see somebody go down, we're so selfish, we kind of have that thing of, ooh, there's an opportunity for me. When we see them happy, we think, what have you got to be happy about? But the truth is that we belong to one another. We're joined together. We're corporate. We're not individual. We're corporate, collective. And listen to me now. I make no apology whatsoever for saying this, right? And you're going to find this uncomfortable, but let me be very, very clear. We cannot be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep if we are not here to do it. Now, I appreciate that you are here. I understand that. But if we're not here meeting with the people of God, we cannot bless them, joy in that joy with them. We cannot weep with them. Let me tell you, there's a statistical analysis, right? And this is what it says. The average Western Christian professing, Bible-believing Christian, church-going Christian, attends, on average, 19 from 52. 19 from 52. I'm not talking about people who are kind of playing at the sides. These are people who would stick their hands in the air, say, I am a Christian. And I got to tell you that this is not a far away problem for some other church. This is a problem for Seagate, right here. And it comes from wrong priorities. We don't see how amazing it is to be part of the church. We don't have a big enough picture of how amazing church is. And I know this is controversial. I know it is. But sport is not the priority. When it comes to Sunday morning and being in church and being here and meeting with people and blessing and working and weeping, your sport, your children's sport, is not a priority. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Writer of Hebrews can't be any clearer. And listen, this Christian life, we cannot do it alone. I have begun, and I tell you this so that you can keep me accountable, right? I have begun a very painful journey at the Fit Pit, right? Which is just over there, right? And I've begun that journey at the Fit Pit. It's a lot of fun. And it was genuinely, I know this is not a full illustration because some people seem to be able to get fit on their own. I understand that. I can't. I am unable to do that, right? And I came to that realization. It was a pretty painful realization that I couldn't. And so what I needed was I needed somebody to stand beside me. So when they asked me to do 50 burpees, right, and I'm not demonstrating them. If you don't know what they are, go and look them up. 50 burpees, I need somebody standing beside me, encouraging me to get the 50. Because when I've got the 3, I want to stop. So the truth is, I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. And in the Christian life, we cannot do it on our own. And we're not supposed to. We're not meant to. And I understand. Please, I understand that life is busy. I know that. And I know that we don't all have the same amount of time. I know that too. Some people are really busy and in a phase of life which is really busy. And some people have just got loads of time and it's... I know that. And this is not, by the way, this is not legalism, right? I deliberately chose Romans 12 because it comes, surprisingly enough, after Romans 1 to 11, right? Where Paul has written in great detail about how it is by grace alone, by faith alone, through Christ alone. And he explains the wonder of the gospel to us, right? But what he's saying here is he's saying, now listen, you cannot come to Christ and not come to God's people. What he's saying is, listen, this is our response. The amazing, incredible love of God. And here's our response. It's devotion to God, yes, but devotion to one another. And just think about it for a minute. Will you think of the beauty of that? What an incredible gift it is. That when my life is brilliant and amazing and it's fantastic and great, I have people to share it with. Who'll be happy with me. It's one of those things when I see after the service and people have babies in their arms and they're wandering around, little babies in their arms, and the joy and the happiness that the little family have, and it just spreads across the church. Not worse than having something good happen and then having nobody to tell. Nobody to share it with you. And then when my life is so awful, I can't put my own arms up. The people who hold my arms up for me, who will weep with me. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. We belong to each other. It's much more than just a social club. But the second point is a people serving each other, a people serving each other. Let me read again from Romans 12, verse 6. It says this, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving, then serve well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it is giving, then give generously. If you're a leader, then lead. If you're kind, then be kind and do it gladly. It's an incredible, incredible call to service. Now, I was going to go for a sporting metaphor and look at teamwork here this morning, and I was tempted to use the Irish rugby team. I know you're thinking your gift is not encouragement, and you'd be right. But I'm not going to speak about rugby. Not yet. No, genuinely, in a sporting sense, right? We understand, don't we? We understand the idea. Thanks, guys. We understand the idea of being in a team, and everybody has their role, and they win together and they lose together. Yeah? They all belong to each other, and they all have to serve together. Paul says in a parallel passage in 1 Corinthians, he says this, our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We need each other. We're the body of Christ, and we serve together. And that, by the way, that means that we all have a role to play. Right? Some of us are introverts. Right? Some of us are exuberant extroverts. I'll leave you to decide which category I fall into. Some of us are gentle and shy. Some of us are up front. Some of us are old. Some of us are young. We don't all have the same role. We have different roles. We have diversity. Some are unseen. Some of those roles will take lots of time. People will be pouring effort in and time because they've got time to pour in. Other people will be pouring in very little amount of time because they don't have a lot of time. In fact, says Paul, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Let me give you a quick example of that. This is not on my notes, but let me give you a quick example of that. On a Sunday morning, I get up and I preach, and I know that's important. It is. Right? And it's seen, and everybody sees it. But you know that the little conversations after the service, the one-on-ones, the little conversations, the little chats, the little speaking truth into people's lives, the laughter, the fun, it's massively important. It's not always seen. But listen, we don't have tea and coffee after the service because we like tea and coffee, although we do. We have it there for a purpose. And if you're good at encouraging, then get alongside people and encourage them. And again, we can't do it. You know where this is going. We can't do it if we're not here to do it. And then says Paul, listen, don't just pretend to love others. He says, really love them. Don't. This is about being real. It's about doing life together. Sometimes, even when we don't want to do it, when the last thing we want to do is to go to church, when we do it anyway. Now, I understand my grandmother's generation, you know, you went physically to everything, you were always there at everything, and that was a big kind of tick. As long as you were there, right, it didn't matter what you did. But the pendulum has swung right away to the other side, where it doesn't really matter if you're there or not. Got to find the balance. And that means sacrifice. Even when We don't want to do it. And we follow the sacrifice of Christ for us. Now listen, it's sometimes said of Seagate to me, right? This is one of the things he speaks about here is practicing hospitality. Now, to me, sometimes, and it has been said on more than one occasion to me, of Seagate, that we're incredibly friendly on the door. We're incredibly welcoming. On a Sunday morning, brilliantly welcoming, fun, laughter, everything else. Beyond that, not so much. It's superficial. As a people of God, we practice hospitality. Gladly, not like the skeptic who once said that hospitality is making people feel at home when you wish they were. It's not like that. It's about doing it cheerfully, enthusiastically. And again, right, think of how rich life becomes. And the significance of food and just chatting and talking and doing life together. And none of that, by the way, none of that should we forget prayer. I've been banging on and on and on about prayer. Thursday night, every other week, Friday morning, 7 a.m. You say to me, well, I can't make either of those. That's fine. Start your own. Come and tell us. And by the way, there are lots of reasons to pray right now. Lots of them. Lots and lots of reasons to be praying right now. Christianity Explored, lots of things going on, and lots of answers to prayer as well. And so we cheerfully serve. And we cheerfully use our gifts. But finally, we are people who love one another. All of the above must be underpinned by love. As a family. Now, just like anything in this broken world, family is not always perfect. And church is never perfect. Now, maybe you heard me speak this morning and you think, church has never been like that for me. Church has never been like that for me. I've been hurt. There's pain. There's even perhaps some persecution. But the church is just full of broken people. And of course, there will be people we don't naturally like. Churches, it's not supposed to be a group of homogenous people who we'd like to go on holiday with. That's not what church is. There are old, young, Irish, Scottish, people who rub us up the wrong way, people who hurt us deeply. It really does happen. And if it hasn't happened yet, it will. So what do? Withdraw? Stop coming? Can't be bothered? No, you love them anyway. You love them anyway. We love the people even when we think that they are unlovable. Why? How on earth could you do that? Well, because that's what Christ has done for us. You see, we were unlovable. This is the heart of the gospel. We are unlovable. our rebellion, our refusal to accept God as King, our refusal to understand how serious our sin is, we are unlovable. And you say, you see, because of our Western culture, here's a little thing. Because of our Western culture, you say, yeah, I get that individually. I understand that individually because my salvation is just individual. Hello? Well, that was interesting.
So,
it's the battery.
I'm going
to
get another one and
not be distracted. Did you just say you're going to get another one and not be distracting? I don't know. I think the ship might have sailed on that, but let's not. That's it. That's it. We're done now. Time's up. Anyway, moving on. We do though, don't we? We do think of ourselves as being individuals. And one of the things that we think about individuals, when we hear that, we say we're unlovable and we are, you know, mired in sin. We get that, and we get that individually. Those of us who are Christians, we get that. It's the gospel. And we think, well, it couldn't apply to a whole church, could it? That couldn't apply to the whole church. Whole church couldn't be that way, could it? I know all the things you do to the church. You're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other, but since you're like lukewarm water, you're neither hot or cold, so I'm going to spit you out. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Not to a church, not to an individual, to a church. That's the gospel, by the way. This is the heart of the gospel. We who were naked and pitiful and rich, wretched and blind are loved by a gracious and loving God, a fierce and passionate love who would put us together as a people, make us a people, and make us his bride. And so, yes, loving people in the church, serving them, being bound together will cost us. It'll mean sacrifice and re-priorities in our life. But none of that will be anything compared to the sacrifice of Christ for us. We love the unlovable because we were unlovable and Christ loved us. Immediately after Paul finishes 1 Corinthians 12, he goes on to speak about love. Love is patient, love is kind. Even people who are not in the church, they'll know those words. Can I tell you that they're not lovey-dovey words? They're a slap down to the Corinthian church. And this is love. This is love. And he finishes it by saying, if we don't have love, we've got nothing. So church is amazing. It's amazing. I hope we see that. It gives us great hope, great joy, sometimes pain, yeah. But when we are all here And when we're serving, and when we're loving, and we're not perfect, but when we're trying and we're striving, do you know what we are? We're an embassy. We're like a little bit of heaven on earth. And that little bit of heaven will shine a light all around Troon. The gospel for the world through Troon. How amazing. We'll be filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll be transformed. Who wouldn't want to be part of that? Let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your church. We thank you for the love that you have for us collectively, corporately. Father, call us to yourself. Devote us to you, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. And bless us now, Father, as we come together to worship you and praise your name for your glory. Amen.